More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, stop nagging. Is someone you care about being dismissive of your needs or concerns? We're going to help you be heard. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the show is titled, Stop Nagging. Is someone you care about being dismissive of your needs or concerns? Do you keep trying to raise the same issues only to be dismissed or disregarded, put off, or even demeaned? Are you tired of being treated like you're a nag, a pest, or something similar? Or for that matter, do you feel like someone is nagging you? And, you know, you don't like feeling that way, you don't like saying that to them, but you also don't like the way they're coming across, and you're not sure how to deal with it. Either way, on either side of that coin, we want to help you get those messages communicated gracefully. 877-573-7825.
You know, this is something that I think people are experiencing more than ever. Because everybody's life changed up, right? And suddenly there are a million new needs, a million ways that the light is being shown on needs in a way that it never was before, and more time stuck together than ever. And I even, you know, even if you're not stuck together, getting those needs met when you've been distanced from somebody. I know somebody yesterday who reached out to her grandchildren and just was devastated because she got such a negative reaction to it. And then she said, can you look at the message? And I did, and it was so demanding and naggy instead of inviting and kind. But we're all feeling so much need. Everything from, you know, it just goes on. We all feel so much need right now, and often we feel like the only way we can be heard is to nag and cajole. And that's rough on everybody because nobody wants to be nagged and nobody wants to be a nag. We just want to get our needs met in a way that says that person cares.
877-573-7825. And even though everything Lisa said is absolutely true, it's hard to get those needs met and
sure
it's hard to be heard. I want to talk just at the top of the show about the difference between the virtue of perseverance versus the offense of being a pest. Let's touch on
that. I like that. That there is a difference.
So, perseverance is a virtue, right? Being a pest or a nag or whatever word you want to use is not. So, what is the difference? Number one, you got to ask yourself, is your cause just? In other words, is your persistence due to a desire to be a healthier, godlier person, or to help someone you care about be a healthier, godlier person, or make your relationship healthier or godlier? If your cause is just, that's a check on the side of perseverance as opposed to pest, right? Second criteria, if you will, are you pursuing the matter in as charitable a way as circumstances permit? Now, I'm not saying, you know, in the abstractly, ideally, most charitable way. I'm talking about in your actual circumstances. For example, you know, are you trying to be as reasonably sensitive to the other person's needs and empathetic to their feelings as possible while still addressing your just concern? Right, because as soon as I say, you know, being sensitive to other people's needs or empathic toward their feelings, they're like, well, I guess I shouldn't bring it up because it just upsets them when I talk about this.
Right, they just, you get completely deflated because you think that you have to acquiesce. You can't, it's either all my way or all your way. Only one of us should be uncomfortable. Like, there's just so much that disempowers us in that mindset as opposed to what you're talking about.
Which is, again, you know, not giving up on what the, assuming that your, you know, your need in the first place is intended to either work for your good, the good of the other person, and or the good of the relationship, assuming that's true, you can't give that up because that's what you need to do to be loving. Right? And if you give that up, you're not loving. And that means you're not being Christian. So you can't not do that.
But we have to always go back to, and this is so important, we have to go back to that first point, okay? That I love that you've brought up, but let's, you and I tease this out for a minute here. Because it's, is your cause just? And are you desiring to make that person a healthier, godlier person? All right? Or make your relationship healthier and godlier. One, that's a great criteria, because often it's, no, I want it my way. I think, you know, my parents raised me this way, or I like it that way, or this is my comfort zone, and so I'm going to pursue this. And if this person really loved me, they'd adapt to where I am. So this helps tease that out. But don't we also have to take one more step in that we have to leave room for that person to figure out with God himself what's healthier and godlier for them, as opposed to we have to pray my way. We have to, you know, we have to do this every single day. Or if you wanted to be a good person, you'd do Bible study with me all the time. Or if you wanted to truly be healthier, you'd eat the way I told you to eat, even though you're a grown adult. You know, is there... How do we tease that out, I think, is something that's important.
Because, well, that's the second point,
yeah.
Right? So that's where the second point comes in, making sure that you're pressing your need or concern in a way that's genuinely respectful of the other person's needs or feelings. Because, you know, so to use your example, if you like to pray in a particular way, you know, the goal is drawing closer to God. It's not necessarily
exactly
praying in that particular way. And so being able to go to the person and say, look, I understand that maybe you don't like to pray this way, but I would like to draw closer to God and to you through our prayer relationship. You know, what ideas do you have for doing that? And then talking that out. You're not giving up the idea of praying together. You're being flexible about the how and the when, if you will. I guess another formulation of this, you know, we talk about this a lot when we do a show on selfishness versus assertiveness. And that is, you know, selfish people, they refuse to negotiate the what, the how, or the when. Whereas assertive people don't negotiate the what, but they negotiate the how and the when. In other words, to be able to say, look, this thing is important to me, but how and when I get it, I'm flexible on. Right? That's assertive. Selfish is where you just say, no, I want what I want, the way I want it, and when I want it.
That doesn't mean you don't pursue the how and the when, though. That's something that you actually have to come up with. Instead of, a lot of people say, well, we can negotiate the how and the when, but then never plan the how and the when. So it's like, well, I really, really want my kids to, like, cooperate with homework time. But, you know, I can be flexible on the how and the when. And then they just leave it in at the feet of the kid rather than saying, do you want to do your homework right when you come home from school or after dinner? But it's, you got to pick one. You know, you're negotiating the how and the when, but you're not...
Well, you're making a plan.
You're not giving in on the fact that it needs to be done.
So clearly there's a lot here, right? So let's talk about it. You know, how can you press your needs or concerns without being a nag or a pest about it? Or if you're being accused of being a nag or a pest about it, how do you negotiate that? Let's talk about it. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Or if you're in a relationship with someone and you feel like you're constantly being nagged by them and you want to change that aspect of your relationship, not just walk away from it, to have that closer, better relationship with that person and still be who you are, we can help you work that out with them as well. The number today is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. 7825. If there's nagging going on somewhere in your life, we're here to help you out.
Well, let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your questions in the name of the Father, and
the
Son,
and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, the psalmist tells us that before the words are even on our lips, you are rushing to respond to our concerns. We praise you for your generosity, for your grace, for your mercy, and for your love. And as generous as you are to us, you ask us to be generous to each other, to really listen to each other and be willing to respond promptly and generously and consistently and even cheerfully to each other's needs. Help us to follow your example in our relationships, to press our concerns in ways that are charitable, to make sure that our concerns are always ordered toward us becoming the people you created us to be, working for the good of the others in our lives, and working to make our relationships healthier and godlier. And help us to press them in ways that actually create communion, so that we can live in the mutually self-giving relationships that your servant, Pope St. John Paul the Great, asked us to create. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the
name of the
Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today our show is titled Stop Nagging, as we talk about the difference between being persevering versus being a pest. Is someone you care about being dismissive of your needs or concerns? You know, maybe you keep trying to raise that same problem, that same concern, that same issue, only to be dismissed, disregarded, put off, or even demeaned. Being told that you're being such a pest, you're being such a nag, why won't you let this go? How can you keep having to bring this up? What's wrong with you? Can't you just get over it? Well, if you're being treated that way and you're tired of it, but you're not sure how to get past it and actually resolve the issue, meet the need, address the concern, we are here to help. 877-573-7825. Once again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, practically as soon as we put this up on our social media, we got a message from Sarah, who is listening to Ave Maria Radio in Michigan. And she said, I feel like I have to be a nag to get anyone to do anything around the house. I am a stay-at-home mom, but over the past few months, we've all been home. Kids, 14, 10, and 9, and my husband, who is working remotely still. That has increased my workload a million times. They can't even seem to see the messes and the work. The kids leave their clothes on the bathroom floor instead of just walking them a yard down the hall to the laundry room. They leave their stuff all over the bathroom sink, and then they fight with each other about knocking stuff over or one of the other kids using it. Even my husband just leaves his glass in his home office and just doesn't even see it until 3 days later when it's got mold growing on it, and he expected me to clean it up. I'm going insane because all I do is remind and ask for some thoughtfulness and help, and I don't get any. What should I be doing differently? Sarah in Michigan.
Well, Sarah, thanks so much for the message. And, you know, you're certainly not alone. I hear this complaint from a lot of folks, especially during this time when things have shifted up. So there are two things that kind of pop in my head here as a starting point for addressing this problem. The first thing, and I'm going to do it in this order because I'd like to use the carrot before the stick. Okay. So the first thing is something we've been recommending a lot on the show, and that's the family team exercise. And that's where what's happening right now is, you're addressing things after the fact, right? Everybody's just kind of going along in their own business and doing things their own way, and then you're swooping in after the fact and complaining about what they haven't done.
And I think that part of that is not really your fault. We were all so surprised by the fact that, wow, all of a sudden, kids aren't going back to school. Oh, wait a minute, they're not going back next week, the week after, the week... your spouse is home. This hit sort of like a tidal wave. So if you are a stay-at-home mom with your own routine for keeping order in your home and having your own sense of peace, and then the table just got flipped on you, it's very easy to just go about what you'd normally do, trying to stay feeling normal, and the kids aren't, and then your husband aren't in a normal place, and so they have no idea what the new system is. But now that we've adjusted to this, and we're realizing this is going on at least through the summer, if not longer, then it really is time to say, okay, wait a minute. We need to do some things differently and do it as a team, because life just isn't the same as it was when I could just handle this by myself, because you guys weren't here all day making a mess.
So you want to try to address it before it happens instead of after it happens. Because once it's already done, then it's a mess that needs to be cleaned up, and you're upset, and everybody just looks at you like, oh, there goes mom being upset again. And it's about you and your emotions as opposed to them and the things they need to do to be helpful. So you want to start out in the morning and say, okay, guys, look, let's talk about what we need to do to be a better team today between, say, breakfast and lunch. And that might involve, you know, everybody kind of spells out what they need, but you are sharing, you know, I kind of need you guys to pick up your clothes before, you know, before you sit down for lunch. That needs to be done. These things need to happen. Honey, I need you to really kind of police your office and make sure that anything that doesn't belong in there is out of there.
Yeah, before you turn off the lights at night, please look around and see that everything is in its place.
Well, I'm saying like at breakfast, before we sit down for lunch together. You know what I'm saying? So
okay.
You're taking that block of time and you're planning the next couple of hours. What's going to happen in that next couple of hours?
Okay.
What do you need from each other in that time? I will throw this in as sort of a bonus. I said there was two things that popped into my head. The side of this, you need to establish that no job is done until someone's come to you. At least this is true for the kids. No job is done unless the kids have come to you and said, "Hey, mom, this is done. Can you come and please look at it?" You know, we don't do a great job of following up as parents because we have a lot on our plates. It should be the kid's job to come and tell you, and we enforce that in the way I'm going to tell you in just a second. But it's their job to say, you know, mom, dad, I'm done with the thing you asked me to do. Can you come check it? And is there anything else I can do?
But it also means interrupting what we're doing or getting off our rear ends and going to check, not just going, well, if you say you did it, then that's fine. Because that's saying, I don't really, really care enough to check. And you may have done it in a way I don't like, but I'll just yell at you later.
Yeah.
And so we're undermining ourselves if we don't actually go and check and try and always make sure that we lead with approving. You know, thank you for everything you put into this. I really appreciate this. Can you look around and see if there was anything you missed? You know, as we stand here, because I see something. Don't just say, but you didn't pick up this. Just keep training them to see it.
Yeah, so but we can't teach them to care if we don't care. So those sort of two things first. Number one, the family team exercise where you're communicating your expectations up front, and then sort of the accountability piece of any chore where it's the kid's job to come to you and tell you that it's done and ask you to check it, and also ask you if there's anything else they can do for you. You have to teach them that. But that should be your expectation. Now, what's the stick? It's not much of a stick, but it is accountability, right? And what that is you create natural breaks in the day where things must be done before the next thing happens. So, for example, if you're saying, okay, these things have to be done before lunch, well, that means the kids have come to you and said, hey, mom, I did thus and such. Will you please check it? And is there anything else I can do? And they've done it before lunch. If they show up for lunch, you can calm down for lunch. But then there's nothing there for them. And they're, well, where's my lunch? And you say, well, you didn't tell me that the job was done. Oh, well, I did it. Yes, okay, that's great. But you didn't ask me to check it. So did you want me to check it now? Yeah, okay. And then, you see what I'm saying? So but you feed them as soon as it's done to your satisfaction. But you don't move on to lunch until the plan you set is established. Or if you say, you know, X has to be done before I can take you to practice, or X has to be done before we play a game as a family, or whatever it is, you've created this natural break in the day that X has to happen before Y gets triggered, right? And it's triggered by them having come to you and said, this is done, can you please check it, and then is there anything else I can do? If they haven't done all that stuff, then Y doesn't get triggered. You see what I'm saying? So it's not just you talking more, or you saying more, or you nagging more. It's about creating breaks in the day that allow you all to sort of stop, recalibrate, catch up, and then move on together. instead of what you're doing right now, which is just chasing after everybody. I hope those ideas will be a help to you. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us again here on More to Life. With that, we got to take a break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on our show today titled Stop Nagging. Is someone you care about being dismissive of your needs or your concerns? Are you tired of trying to bring up an issue only to have that person tell you that you're being annoying and ask you to just go away and get over yourself? Well, if you're in that position, we want to help. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions. We'll also be joined by Sue Muldoon, who will be sharing with us some insights on how we can really start to listen to each other as couples and families. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to avemariaradio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and our show today is titled Stop Nagging. Is someone you care about being dismissive of your needs or concerns? And they're telling you that you're being a pest, you're being a nag, you just get over yourself. But you can't. We want to help you be heard. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Sue Muldoon. She is a counselor and pastoral minister. She and her husband, Tim, are the authors of several books, including Reclaiming Family Time. And she's here to talk to us today about how to really listen to each other. Hey, Sue, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you with us. You know, falling into that kind of habit of feeling like a nag is, I think, a lot of times related to feeling a little out of control, no?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's important for us to keep in mind, whether we're the person who is nagging or the person who feels like we're being nagged, that if we try to really listen to each other, then we can focus on why is this person feeling like they need to control the situation, or why do I feel like I need to control the situation? And if we really listen for the source of concern, then it helps us to get past it. You know, sometimes we actually disagree about the topic, and we really need to address that directly. You know, nagging can sometimes be like, well, I'm not really want to do that, but I don't want to confront the person because I don't want to make them mad, so I make it seem like I'm going to go along with it. But then that just increases the nagging. Whereas if you don't have an intention to follow through, talk through it directly and work through what is the actual source. Sometimes the person wants to control the situation and maybe they really don't have the responsibility or the right to be doing that. And then it might be a situation for addressing boundaries, whether you need to be setting boundaries with the other person to say, this really is my situation to determine, not yours. Or you need to be willing to hear that from someone else, that you wish they would do something differently, but it really might not be your right to determine that for them. And that can be really hard, especially if we see that may potentially bring the person harm, but we have to respect their freedom. So we can we can let them know our concerns.
One of the things I was talking about earlier in the program is the idea of negotiating the how and the when, but not the what. And I guess I'm bringing that up now because of you sort of talking about, you know, whose responsibility is what. I think that even when, you know, it's somebody else's responsibility to kind of manage their life or their affairs, you know, we can still raise a concern that we see with them and address that. We just have to be flexible about how it's addressed. And that's, I think, where the boundaries come in, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. We should feel free to let them know in a loving way what we expect, what we see as appropriate. And it especially, you know, when we're talking about the example of, you know, a mom with her children the way you were before, then she has a significant amount of right to be expressing why things should happen and how they should happen and what's needed as a family. There is, in a spouse relationship, it might be that we would like someone to do things the way we're most comfortable, but it might not really be one of those situations where our expectations should determine their behavior. So that's why we have to be willing to have a direct conversation. Like, you're feeling you need to control this situation. Is it because really something negative is going to happen if I don't control it, or is it I would just be more comfortable if I were able to have it be my way? Mm-hmm. That's where if we're really listening to each other for that source of the anxiety, then we're going to be able to make a better plan so that we can say, all right, this conflict is coming up. We're going to deal with it directly. We're going to say, this is where I'm responsible, where you're responsible, and make a plan.
Sue, thanks so much for being with us. And again, Sue and Tim Muldoon, authors of several books, including Reclaiming Family Time. Great insights. And folks, if you'd like to join the conversation, we'd love to hear from you at 877-573-7825. Our show today is titled Stop Nagging. It's all about how do we get our needs or concerns addressed without being accused of being a pest. 877-573-7825.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament with the goal of an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me and he says, Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read Scripture. He goes, I want more. I said, do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He said, outside of Mass, no. I said, I think that's the more. See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. And the first thing is to be with the Master. And the Master is Jesus.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God. But I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a little lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have, and we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence. And in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Arguments about money are well known as one of the leading causes of divorce. But these arguments actually have very little to do with financial know-how. Rather, it's about the goals you and your spouse have for your finances and how you feel your money should be used. Here are four steps to managing money problems in your marriage. Step 1. Examine your conscience. Do your ideas about money line up with what the church teaches about money? Step 2. Pray about your finances together
Letting God enter into your financial decisions helps couples to act as a team instead of two opposing forces. Step 3, use your problem-solving tools. Resolve to take care of your spouse through your money decisions, but use numbers to make decisions, not feelings. And step 4, get professional help. You need access to right knowledge to make a sound financial decision for your family's future. See, talking about money doesn't have to be a negative experience. For more marriage guidance, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And our show today is titled Stop Nagging. And how do you press concerns or needs or address problems without being accused of being a pest? The reality is a lot of times when someone says we're being a nag or we're being a pest, it's really because they don't want to listen to what we're saying. And that doesn't mean that you need to stop bringing it up. It means that you might want to check your approach. You know, we talked earlier in the program about the difference between persevering and being a pest. That if we want to persevere, you know, we need to press our concerns that we genuinely believe are just. In other words, it's not just my feeling or my preference, but I really believe that pushing this is working for my good, for your good, or the good of our relationship. And then secondly, that we're trying to press it in a way that is actually sensitive to the other person's needs and concerns and feelings. But we still need to address the concern, right? It's just because somebody else gets upset about us pressing that need or concern or addressing that problem doesn't mean we've done something wrong. Sometimes it just means they don't want to deal with it. So how do we keep being persistent in a way that addresses the problem and stops us from being dismissed as a pest or a nag or worse? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. If you're having a hard time raising those needs, concerns, or problems and being actually heard by the person you're talking to, we're here to help.
Or if you're being nagged by somebody and you're tired of having to blow up their relationship to get them to stop, you want to be in relationship with this person, but they're driving you crazy. We're here for that as well. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
So Liza wrote to us through our More to Life Facebook page, and she says, I have a younger sister, and I think I'm being an awful pain about telling her to go to vet school. I understand she has many challenges growing up with no motivation or support from our parents. She's capable and smart. She actually graduated university in the midst of a family crisis. Mm. She gets super angry, though, and says she doesn't want to be in school forever. But she's okay being a vet tech or assistant for the rest of her years. She's okay living paycheck to paycheck every day and worrying about bills like our parents, and I don't understand it. Our mother lost her home for non-payment. Our mom went through many periods of unemployment and depended on welfare most of my sister's life. I've offered every support and encouragement I could, and she doesn't seem to get it. She's smart, and vet school is her dream. A couple of years in school is not the rest of her life. It's a short sacrifice to fulfill your dream and break through. Why won't she just do it? Liza, thank you so much for the message. I'm a little confused just by what you said about, you know, you keep talking about your sister's mom. Presumably it's your mom, too.
She says our mother lost her home.
Yeah, no, I know, but she talks about how that her mom was on unemployment or dependent on welfare most of my sister's life. So I don't know if...
I think, just from being in that situation myself, there could be an age difference there.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if her growing up was different
than
her sister's.
And I would think it might be from that sentence, because I know my sister, 7 years older than me, lived a completely different life with my mother than I did, being, you know, a different generation practically.
So I'm presuming that, but that was just one point of confusion for me. Having said that, and the reason that's important, by the way, is because my sense is that you're coming off like the parentified child. what I mean by that is that when you grow up in a household where the parents aren't effective parents, inevitably there's one kid in the family who becomes parentified. That means that's the kid who takes on all the responsibility. You know, that's the kid
who keeps everybody safe and sane.
That's the kid who says, we're running out of toilet paper. That's the kid who says, you know what, we need to get to the doctor. That's the kid who says, oh, hey, mom, you need to sign this paper 300 times. You know, there's one kid who suddenly steps into the role of parent because the parent won't do it. And it seems to me like you have stepped into that role. Your sister has stepped into the role of kind of perpetual child. And the whole reason behind that role is to get the parent to be a parent. If I could just be ineffective enough, then finally mom will be the parent that she's supposed to be and take care of me. And so this isn't about vet school, is my point. This is about you guys have certain family rules that are rooted in the dynamics that your family of origin played out, and you've become wedded to certain roles as a result of basically the trauma of being raised the way you were. And until your sister's able to mourn the fact that your mom is never going to be the mom she wants her to be and learn how to take care of herself instead of living a life that is living a life of incompetence in the hope that mom will be competent for her,
or at the very least come alongside of mom and say, look how similar we are, love me, you know, pay attention to me, acknowledge me.
Either way, until she resolves that psychological crisis, you're not going to get anywhere with this conversation about vet school, because it's not about being a vet. So my suggestion to you is, as much as you love your sister and as much as you want more from her, I think you want to leave it at that and say, you know, listen, I'm so sorry that you're struggling with these bills, or I'm so sorry that you're struggling. Like, if she complains to you about it, you know, to be empathetic and to say, you know, what would you like to do about that? You know, and just keep putting it back on her doorstep, because, you know, there's a weird sort of dynamic between the two of you, too, by the way, where if she complains to you about this stuff and you offer solutions, you're stepping into the role of nurturer.
And you would think that that would meet that need, but instead it lets her slip into the role of rebellious teenager, because you're not her mom, and that's who she really wants. And so it's kind of like the stepmom has come in, and she wants to rebel against the stepmom, and it really gets messy in there.
So again, this is not about just solving the problem of her bills or encouraging her to go to vet school. This is really about working out a family dynamic issue where you've become the parentified child and she's become that sort of perpetual child, both of you, in the hopes of, you know, making up for your mom's lack. And so that's the issue that needs to be addressed. And in the meantime, what you can do, as I said, is empathize with her and then put it back on her. So what would you like to do about that? You know, this is something that you've complained to me about this a lot, and I really feel sorry that you're going through this. What do you think you want to do to handle this differently? Keep making the onus on her responsibility for taking charge of her life. Don't swoop in and try to fix it for her by making suggestions, because that plays into the role of being her mom, which is what she wants. She wants somebody to be a mom and take care of her. It also prevents her from just blaming other people for her problems. You just empathizing and then saying, what would you like to do about that to address that issue? Keeps reminding her that the locus of control has to be inside of her. She can't be waiting the rest of her life for someone else to show up and take care of it. But that's the real issue that's going on here, Liza. So thank you so much for raising the question. If there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the program. Or reach out to us through CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about the resources we have there. We've updated our website, and it's much more interactive than ever, and we have a ton of free resources on setting boundaries, dealing with difficult people. Check out those videos on our video channel, on the Life and Work channel. You can see the videos, as I said, on setting boundaries, on dealing with difficult situations like this with your sister. So I think it'll be helpful for you if you just wander over to the site and just explore it a little bit.
Yeah, and I invite everybody to explore it a little bit. I don't know if you saw it, Greg, but I answered it for us. We got an email yesterday from the wonderful Cheryl Neal, who answers everyone's calls at Ave Maria Radio when you call into the station and basically makes sure we all stay safe and sane, and we adore her. And she, last night, I was sitting there with you, and we were watching TV, and I got an email from her saying that she went to our new website and sort of got lost in it for a couple of hours because she loved it so much and wants to explore it more, which was such a compliment. Thank you, Cheryl.
Lots of articles, lots of videos.
Brand new, everything there. You can enjoy yourself for quite a while and learn all sorts of new stuff.
So check it out. CatholicCounselors.com. www.awtn.com. Well, we got to go to break, but before we do, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Luke chapter 18, verses 2 through 7. So a little longer scripture.
A little longer,
today,
but necessary, because it's all one thing. It says, "There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human person. A widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me.' For a long time the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, 'While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will God not secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them?'"
I love this scripture. Honestly, it's one of my favorite passages, and it's
really
kind of one of the foundational verses for my life, because I am a pest.
To God, you're a pest? To everybody, I'm a pest.
I have a very hard head, and I keep beating my head into the wall until the wall falls down. It's just my thing. So this show is speaking as much for me and my experience as it is, I hope, to help our listeners. But I think this passage is really important, because what it does is it really says, just because someone is telling you you're bothering them doesn't mean that you go away. It means that you reflect on the things that I talked about earlier in the show. Is your cause just? Are you trying to be the person God created you to be? Are you trying to help a person you care about be the person that God created them to be? Are you trying to make your relationship with them healthier or godlier? If yes, then your cause is just, and you can't not pursue it. You can't let it go. But secondly, you have to pursue it in a way that's charitable. You know, the lady didn't burn down the judge's house. She just annoyed him until he gave her a just decision, right?
Yeah.
You know, and even though I actually, we edited some of this just for length, but you know, he talks about, or she might strike me. You know, she didn't strike him. You know, she just wouldn't let it go because it was a just cause. And God is saying that perseverance truly pays off in the life of grace. It pays off in our prayer life, and it is what God wants us to do to address injustices in the world as well.
Well, and I want to be clear about something for those who may be struggling with their perception of God in this. We don't even, on a daily basis, have to be able to completely formulate a thought for God to know what it is we need and want to be able to draw us closer to who he's created us to be and fulfill those needs when they are righteous needs. But he really encourages us here to be perseverant in prayer to him for a lot of reasons. One, it's going to help us sort out, do we really want this thing? Is this thing just and right? Is it what's right for us? But it's going to draw us into a perpetual relationship with him where he's allowed to help, you know, because we've allowed him to, because we're starting that conversation with him, we then are opening our hearts to what God wants for us, to a relationship with him. Our hearts and our minds get changed and moved and develop as we have that very, you know, persistent relationship with God. The one caution I would say, and this is in relationship with God, because as you're saying, in our relationship with another, if it's a just thing, then we should pursue it. With God, we have to be careful, I think with people too, to make sure that we are not making our prayer, the object of our prayer, an idol. So it can't be, you know, I'm not going to love you, Lord, until you give me X, Y, and Z. You know, it can't be treating God or anybody else as a vending machine. I'm going to beat on this vending machine till I get what I want.
No, but I think what you do is...
The relationship is what's important.
Yeah, well, and what you do with that desire is you say, look, Lord, this desire is still in my heart. You know, I'm giving it to you, and I'm asking you to take it away if it's not from you. But if it remains in my heart, then I've got to assume that it's from you. So that's number one. Number two, as long as it's still in my heart, that means that you've got some way to fulfill it, and I don't see how. So help me. Show me what you want me to do, what kind of relationship you want me to have with this desire that's on my heart.
Because very important.
What
words.
We have a tendency to do is we say it to God once, then we think, if I bring it up again, then I'm annoying him.
You might get mad at me.
Or we bring it up again, and like you said, we make the object of our prayer the idol. and we basically, you know, implicitly say, God, I'm not going to love you unless you give me this. And both of those things are wrong. The way to approach it, number one, is to give the desire to God and say, if it's not from you, take it away. But then to assume that if it doesn't go away, it is from him. So then the second step is to go and say, look, Lord, this has not gone away. You've not taken it away. So what relationship do you want me to have with it? How do you want me to continue to approach this? Because, you know, you're not just giving this desire to me to torture me. You're giving this desire to say, you want me to reorder my life in a way that enables me to pursue this in a way that's pleasing to you. So show me how to pursue this in a way that's pleasing to you.
Well, that brings us around, because of this scripture from Luke 18, to opening this up to, if you feel like you're nagging God about something and not getting anywhere, and you're confused, we're here for that as well. But if you are dealing with a situation where you just feel like your concerns are being dismissed, you're often put off, maybe you're demeaned, and you're treated like a nag or a pest, and you don't know what to do anymore, I guess from other people or from your thinking God, we're here for you at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And More to Life will continue after the break. Stick around.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
The EWTN home video highlight for July is The Heresies, Gnosticism. Christianity has fought against this heresy from the beginning, and its errors still infiltrate our culture today. Order your DVD of The Heresies, Gnosticism at EWTNRC.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
This is Dr. Stan Williams. Why do Christians believe what they do? Not what, but why? What are the facts, evidences, and reasons for the Christian faith? Nineveh's Crossing has just released a new book titled Basic Christianity, Facts, Evidences, Reasons. It's a religious education course for teens through adults in Christian history, archaeology, and logic. Basic Christianity, available now at AveMariaRadio.net in the bookstore. Look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and our show today is titled Stop Nagging. Is someone you care about being dismissive of your needs or concerns? Are you tired of bringing up the same problems only to be dismissed, disregarded, or put off, or being told you're a nag, or a pest, or worse? We want to help you be heard. 877-573-7825. We hate to nag you, but we do have a request to ask. This is the time of year where most Catholic radio stations do their spring pledge drives.
And as we've moved heavily into summer, we know that those should have happened by now, but
and
haven't in most places.
Many stations, they haven't. They've been either suspended or altogether or at least postponed indefinitely. But Catholic radio needs your support. So please go to your local Catholic radio station's website and make a pledge, renew your pledge, or add to a pledge to keep Catholic radio here for you every day. We thank you for your prayer support, and we thank you especially for your financial support to keep Catholic radio going strong and growing stronger every day. Before the break, we were responding to a question from Liza, and we had just given some advice, but we had a point of confusion. She'd messaged us through our Facebook page, and she wrote back during the break to say, "Thank you. Indeed, I am 17 years older than my sister. In fact, I could be her mother. I took her in last year when our mom kicked her out. Thank you for the resources. I will genderly talk and empathize with her based on what you've said."
So that is so tough. I mean, she's actually taken her in and is really acting as her, you know, co-parent.
Surrogate mom. Really, it's exactly like you said. It's that dynamic where Liza's the parentified child and the sister is that sort of perpetual child. And so you got to be very careful about negotiating those kinds of things.
Let me say this, which we didn't recommend, but now that we know the circumstances better, and thank you, Liza, for listening and contacting us again and filling us in on that. You really have gone through a lot, both of you. And if it is at all possible economically for you, I would strongly recommend that the two of you get into some family therapy together, just the two of you, and say to her, look, I know I, you know, never expected to be in this position where, you know, I am now. You're a full-grown adult, but we need each other, and I want to be there for you, and I don't want to be stepping all over you, but I also know you have some needs that need to be met. Well, let's talk to somebody. I made an appointment for X, Y, and Z. And if she refuses to go, if she's really stubborn about it, I would go anyway to get some really good techniques on how to do this better, because you were thrown into the deep end of the pool in doing this, and it is, there's just no denying it. It is objectively a really hard position for you to be in. So I would encourage you, if you can make it happen, to get some professional, tender, loving care on how to get through this.
Yeah, if we can support you in that in any way, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about our telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform the situation with your sister, CatholicCounselors.com. We are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Our show today is titled Stop Nagging. Is someone you care about being dismissive of your needs or concerns, no matter how often you bring them up? Are you being accused of being a nag, or you feel like you're being a nag, and you don't like it, but you don't know what to do to actually address the issue? We're here to help you be heard. 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, we have another email from Shana in Texas, who's listening on Guadalupe Radio, but contacted us through our website as well. And she says, my mom is in a senior living apartment, and I am very concerned about her well-being because she had knee replacement surgery 5 months ago, just before lockdown, and she really struggled to recover. I've asked her to text me every morning and evening before she goes to bed so that I can make sure she's okay. I think it's a caring thing to do. She says I'm treating her like a naughty teenager and that she's only 75 and not dying and I should leave her alone. 3 exclamation points on this email. I'm kind of hurt because that makes me feel like she resents being in touch with me. I would want her to just want to talk to me a couple of times a day because I'm her daughter and for her to want to know I'm okay during this really weird time. But mostly, I don't want her hurt or suffering without anyone knowing about it or being able to help her. All of the people in the senior living apartment have been asked by the staff to not see each other during this time because of contagion fears. What should I do? Shana in Texas.
Oh, Shana, God bless you. You and your mom are talking past each other, and you need different things right now. I mean, everything that you're asking for is perfectly legitimate.
And very kind, and very, actually.
Yeah, and very loving. There's nothing wrong with what you want. It's just not where your mom's at, you know. The thing is, she, like a lot of people, at any age, doesn't want to be reminded of her mortality and does not want to be, does not want to feel like her independence is being threatened in any way, and this has scared her, right? You know, so even though the surgery went fine, even though she's going to be fine, she's,
you always feel vulnerable after a surgery like that. Plus, then right after that, she's locked into her apartment and COVID, can't even see the friends in the building. That's a lot.
And there are some people who, when they're either sick or recovering from, you know, an event like this, they just don't want to be fussed over because it makes them feel like an invalid. It makes them feel like they're in their decline or something. And that, I mean, I'm getting that from her comment to you that you're treating her
it's
like a child.
It's sort of a flight or fight response, right? Like she's afraid. She's scared, and so she's fighting against you.
So it's not that she's, you know, resenting what you're doing exactly. It's that she's resenting what it means in her head. You know, that she's afraid of being an invalid, and she's afraid that you're going to think of her as an invalid, and she doesn't want to be a burden to you on top of it. So what you do, just call and check in on Mom, but don't make it about her recovery. Assume that if there's a problem, she'll tell you, but just call, be chatty, check in, let her know that you love her, that you're there if you need her. But don't fuss, because you're just going to drive her crazy and make yourself even more miserable in the process. I'm sorry that you guys have been going through this. Hopefully these suggestions will move you forward in your relationship. That's all the time we've got for today's program. Thanks so much for sharing your stories with us. And if you'd like to learn more about how to get your message across and be assertive in a graceful way, check out the resources we have for you at CatholicCounselors.com. Especially check out the many, many free videos we have on working with difficult people and dealing with difficult situations in our video channels, all at CatholicCounselors.com. While there, learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice and get out there and celebrate the life God wants for you.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchuk. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.